This is my great-grandfather, my great-grandmother, my grandfather and his sister Edna, and they are in the Surrey, and they're going for a ride around the mountains.
Wow.
This is 1908.
Wow.
Visit Jim Fadden's house and you'll find a treasure trove of Woodstock history. There are old signs plastered along the walls, turn-of-the-century programs and town records on top of desks, and stuffed inside of drawers are tons of old photographs showing the famous and sometimes forgotten places and people that made this town what it is today.
This guy is known as Chef the Gunman, and Chef was known worldwide for his proficiency with firearms and his knowledge of firearms. This is inside of his gun shop.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of guns.
Yeah.
Fadden is the sixth generation of his family living in Woodstock, and it's hard to go anywhere in town without running into him. He's a selectman, runs a construction company, and owns the family's general store that dates back to 1896. He's also the chairman of this year's 250th anniversary celebration. And the back room of his store serves as ground central. Stop by and you'll see signs of how Woodstock has been the center for transportation, logging, and tourism. But out of the 13 towns that turned 250 this year, Woodstock probably experienced the slowest and roughest start.
Well, a difficult place to get to. There were no highways, just trails. Also, the valley gets very narrow when you get to here, so it's very difficult to chisel a trail through the woods. It's steep. The soil is very poor. The only crop that you could really grow would be potatoes.
So Woodstock had to be granted three times before it was finally incorporated as a town. In 1763, proprietors called it Peeling. The second time, Connecticut grantees renamed it as Fairfield. Then the original settlers returned and changed the name back to Peeling. It would take until 1800 for Peeling to have its first town meeting. But as residents began to settle into the area, one part of town was not settling as well, the name. No one really knows where the name Peeling came from. There are several theories, but according to Woodstock resident Barbara Avery, who works with the Upper Pemigewasset Historical Society, many people found the name Peeling unappealing.
I think that Peeling, in a way, it had kind of the connotation of, you know, like peelings, apple peelings, orange peelings, which is sort of unpleasant. But it was obviously important to some people to have preached sermons about it.
The Reverend Benjamin Ropes is said to have preached all afternoon, urging town folks to peel off this inappropriate appellation. These sermons must have been convincing enough because in 1840, the town name was officially changed to Woodstock. Since it was tough to farm here and the Pemigewasset River ran through town, Woodstock turned to logging and became one of the first serious commercial logging towns in the state. Soon, the land would be clear-cut of trees. But unlike the environmental devastation that this brought many other towns, Plymouth State University history professor Marcia Schmidt-Blaine says it also brought opportunity to Woodstock, especially in its northern end.
Go to North Woodstock, imagine it with the trees cut down, and you can see Franconia Notch. So all you have to do is go up on a hill, and you'd have this gorgeous view. So the logging industry actually was working for the tourist industry in that way, in that they could open the entire area and be able to, you know, have people have gorgeous views.
When the railroad came into Woodstock, the town built its first hotels, so that when the trains brought giant logs down to Boston, they could also bring back up tourists. At that time, the railroad couldn't cross the mountainous terrain that lay to the north, west, and east of town. So if you wanted to vacation in the White Mountains, the closest you can get was Woodstock. Jim Fadden says his grandfather used to tell him stories about that time.
The trains would arrive with people, and people had no place to stay. And, of course, like any other business opportunity, people noticed that this was happening, and pretty soon there were restaurants and there were hotels, and then there were people that established daily excursions and with wagons and so forth to take people on trips all over the mountains and basically created a tourism industry here.
Woodstock remained a center for tourism into the 20th century, so much so that a World War II victory ship was named after it in 1944. But as transportation improved, it changed Woodstock significantly. According to Jim Fadden, the most important change was the development of Interstate 93. That meant you could drive right through town at 65 miles an hour and barely notice that you did.
When I-93 came through, all those little mom-and-pop businesses that were along Route 3 all dried up and pretty much all went away.
But tourism still runs this town. Currently, 87% of Woodstock is owned by the state or federal government. This keeps the population low and the attractiveness of the White Mountains high. Considering that, Woodstock's 250th celebration was strategically placed after the 4th of July, but before the season really picks up again in August, so that more townspeople would be free to participate. Fadden said that he and his committee planned a week where residents could stop from their busy summers and take pride in a town that had a slow start, but has seemed to have found its stride.
I know that the air is clean and the water is good to drink here, and we have a wonderful quality of life, and I think that's what keeps us all here. It's a wonderful place to raise your children, sometimes difficult place to make a living, but there's no better place on earth to live than right here.
For New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Keith Shields.